And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the papers for Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. It's an early one for me. It's 6:03 in the AM as I record this. So, hope you've had a good night. You might have had a good day. You might be listening to this somewhere on the other side of the world. I hope all is well with you. Let's go to the front pages then, without any messing around. The Eye. We'll start with The Eye. So look, as you can imagine, tomorrow, lunchtime, Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, will be announcing his spring budget. So a lot of coverage of that on the front pages. Eye paper. Tory tensions as Hunt and Sunak wrestle over crunch budget. Crunch, again, because this is seen as the Tories' last chance, this budget, to claw back some ground on Labour, because Labour is streets ahead in the polls. The Labour Party streets ahead in the opinion polls right now, okay? So the Eye paper saying tensions between Sunak, the Prime Minister, and his Chancellor over what measures should be included in tomorrow's budget. The paper says Sunak, the PM, wants the budget to boost the Tories' election prospects, and that because of this, he has been taking a close interest in it, but that the Chancellor has said he won't risk economic growth for short-term political gain. This is horse manure, as if Jeremy Hunt has any say in the budget. Hunt is surrounded by civil servants and think tank people telling him what he can and cannot do. That is how it has worked time immemorial. These people are not in charge. This is the greatest delusion in the history of humanity, that the leaders and the financial ministers of countries are actually in charge of anything. They are not. And would it were that more people knew this, but they don't. The Financial Times photograph of Donald Trump. Trump clear for Colorado. The US Supreme Court has denied more attempts or previous attempts to block Donald Trump from running for president. Yes, he will run. Today is Super Tuesday in the United States. A lot of delegates up for grabs. Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. There is no doubt about that, and it will be finalized today. Now, Apple hit with 1.8 billion euro Brussels fine for choke on music streaming rivals. This came up on the papers a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of weeks ago. So the European Union wanted to go after Apple for minimising, for blocking information on smartphones, on Apple's own phones, iPhones. I have an iPhone. Look, they're all as bad as one another, whether it's Sony or Samsung Galaxy or whatever, or Google. They're all as bloody bad. You might as well have an iPhone as a Galaxy. I happen to have an iPhone. So what Apple was doing on its own iPhone was hiding, making it difficult for its users to access maybe cheaper music streaming services. That is what it was doing. The European Union has said, we can't have that. So here's a 1.8 billion euro fine. It'll be drastically reduced on appeal, I would imagine. And Apple pays very little tax anywhere, including in the Eurozone. So it's no big deal, I wouldn't imagine, for Apple. The Guardian. Doctors issue dire warnings as NHS faces biggest budget cut in 50 years. The Institute for Fiscal Studies, which is an influential think tank, has found that real terms health spending in England will fall by 1.2%, the equivalent of about £2 billion in the next financial year. The Guardian says that's the biggest cut since the 70s, and it'll be catastrophic for the NHS, The Guardian. Daily Mail. Vicars in uproar over church's £1 billion slavery reparations. This story came up on the Richie Allen Show yesterday. The Church of England announcing, first of all, it said, we will find £100 million. So last year, the Church of England pledged £100 million to help pay reparations for the church's role in slavery. I mean, that was bad enough, right? That was madness. But then the church had a review and said, £100 million is not enough. It's got to be £1 billion. So vicars around the country are in absolute uproar over this, and well, they might be. It's madness. Their congregation, the flock, struggling to make ends meet, to hold on to their homes, to put clothes on the backs of their children. And the Muppets in the Church of England are saying, we better pay £1 billion because of our links to slavery. The Times headline, Tories divided over new definition of extremism. This came up on yesterday's papers and we talked about it on the Richie Allen Show. I spoke with John Waters about a number of issues. The podcast available now wherever you get your podcast. And we talked about it. I will return to it briefly in about 10 minutes. Tories divided over new definition of extremism. Daily Mirror headline, On the Run. It has a photograph of Rishi Sunak. On the Run. This is about opinion polls. The Daily Mirror. The Daily Mirror leads with the Tories' poll humiliation, it says. The paper says a new opinion poll has put Conservative support at a mere 20%. And with an election looming, they now trail Labour by 27%. The Daily Express, France must do more with her millions to stop small boats. This is just farcical, you know. The UK has given millions to the French government to pay for better policing on the French side of the Channel, and the French have just laughed their arses off, spent the money and done fuck all, basically. Which is what the French are wont to do. Sacre bleu. All right, yeah, we'll agree to that. Yeah, give us a few million. Yeah, of course we will put extra gendarme to look out for the migrants. The French couldn't give a fuck. That's the Daily Express. And I live with a French woman. Zero fucks given. The Metro, tiny kids dying in housing crisis. This is a serious story. The Metro reporting that 55 children have died, including 42 under the age of one. And it's directly linked to inadequate conditions in temporary accommodation. The paper says the issue is a crisis in housing. Let's go to the front page of the Daily Telegraph. German army leaks just tip of the iceberg. Now, I didn't cover this yesterday, but it's an interesting story, I suppose. Germany's former intelligence chief, August Hanning, has warned that the leak of British intelligence by the German military could be just the tip of the iceberg. It was announced over the weekend. We were played some audio, weren't we? The current head of the German Air Force, Ingo Gerhards, was overheard in a call intercepted by Russia discussing NATO operations in Ukraine, including the presence of British troops. You probably heard the audio. So you have this guy, Ingo Gerhards, and he's talking about how British troops are in Ukraine. This was intercepted by the Russians, and now you have a former intelligence chief of Germany saying that it's the tip of the iceberg, that the Germans are a bit stupid. The Daily Star, Bigfoot lives in Torquay. Giant's prints found by science teacher. So this is 100% definitely true. A gigantic footprint in Torquay in a wood has led to the conclusion it probably belongs to a Devon-based Bigfoot. The Star is asking today, what else could it possibly be? Fantastic. I'm going to be spending a week in Torquay in April. I'll have to check it out for myself. For a big tall guy, I've got pretty small feet, it must be said. What am I, 6'6" tall, and my shoe size is a size 10, which for my height is not massive, really. So I can't go and fake my own big footprint. Those were the front pages of today's dailies. Let's have a little meander through the papers, the insides of them, and see what we can see. The Telegraph. Well, it seems that Nigel Farage has been a naughty boy. Telegraph headline, Jeremy Corbyn threatens to sue Nigel Farage over highly defamatory statement. Corbyn has threatened to take legal action. The former Labour leader, who now sits as an independent MP, said he could not let, quote, disgusting and malicious lies go unchallenged. Apparently, last week on his GB News show, I know it's a farce, Nigel Farage linked Corbyn, or accused Corbyn, of subscribing to a particular anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. None of the newspapers, quite rightly, of course, have repeated the libel. You can't do that, you see. It's risky. The papers can't say, well, this is what Farage said. You can't do that. It's risky. So they haven't, and I don't know exactly what Farage did say myself, to be honest. But Farage has been threatened. He's been warned by Corbyn. Presumably Corbyn wants some sort of retraction or apology, and he might very well get it, you know. Corbyn said, I have asked my lawyers to take the first steps in commencing legal proceedings against Farage following a highly defamatory statement about me. We are a movement for peace. Who's we? He's an independent MP, the dickhead. Who's he talking about? He says, we are a movement for peace and we cannot stand by and let these disgusting and malicious lies go unchallenged. Our demonstrations for a ceasefire are made up of people of all ages, faiths and backgrounds, united in a desire to end human suffering. We continue to march because people continue to die, and we will not allow others to cynically and deliberately distort our calls for peace. I'm guessing that Farage accused Corbyn of calling for the genocide of the Israeli people. That would be my guess. And Corbyn hasn't done that. He's not called for the genocide of the Israeli people ever. Not at all. But if that's what Farage did say, he could be in trouble. Don't forget, back in 2018, Ben Bradley, Tory MP at the time, he might still be, apologised for posting, quote, wholly untrue false statement about Corbyn on Twitter. And having been threatened by Corbyn, he gave money to a food bank, didn't he? He donated to a food bank and he apologised profusely. So Farage might have to apologise. Let's stay with Farage. Inside the Express, Nigel Farage warns Ofcom over GB News probe. I'm ready for a fight. Fuck off, Nigel. You moron. By the way, I'll pronounce his surname 15 different times. I don't know how you pronounce it. Farage, I've no idea. Ofcom has launched an investigation into his programme on GB News, which airs every night. And last night, he hit out and challenged Ofcom to a fight. Well, not a physical fight. He said, Ofcom, I would point out that tonight is the 550th episode of Farage. We have never had a single complaint upheld against this programme for due impartiality or indeed for anything else. So why now? And Farage goes on to say, the reason that Ofcom has opened an investigation into his programme is because this is an election year. Again, bollocks. Farage is a Pied Piper, just like George Galloway, just like Jeremy Corbyn, just like Boris Johnson. They are a manifestation of the system. It is the system saying, here is some opposition to me. Imagine the system as a single entity. It isn't, but imagine it. That the system, the agenda, is a single entity. You need some opposition to me, don't you? So that I can go about my business and continue to bring about tyranny. Here is the opposition. Here are some Pied Pipers for you to follow down rabbit holes. Bullshitters like Corbyn and Farage and Jacob Rees-Mogg and Lee Anderson and that idiot Galloway. There you are. There's your opposition to me. You see Galloway swearing allegiance to King Charles yesterday. What a fucking bullshitter Galloway is. But then he always was. A brilliant piece on him in The Guardian today, written by John Crace. The ego has landed. George Galloway basks in his swearing in as MP. Now, obviously, Crace doesn't like Galloway. Fair enough. It's a very subjective opinion piece, as opinion pieces are bound to be subjective. But it's hilarious. He talks about how, quite possibly, Galloway probably struggled to find two MPs to flank him at the swearing in, because that's how it works. You've got to have a couple of MPs to do it. But he's so unpopular, he's so obnoxious, Galloway, is that he probably struggled. In the end, Neil Handley was one of them, wasn't he? He goes on to talk about Farage and his bullshit. He says there's a lot about Galloway to dislike. Galloway. His self-importance is breathtaking. It is. Most MPs suffer from an excessive self-regard, but Galloway is off the scale. It has never crossed his mind that he is not right about everything. If there are angels, and George is Catholic, so there certainly are, then they are on his side. It's a very interesting piece. It talks about Galloway, as I see Galloway, to be honest. Somebody who... the only thing that's important for Galloway is Galloway himself. That's all, really. But the guy does go on to say, Crace, that democracy was not, you know, poorly served by his election in Rochdale. It was a democratic event. The people of Rochdale didn't want a Tory. They didn't want an independent, a Labour guy who had been abandoned by Labour. So they chose Galloway instead. And in all likelihood, he'll be dumped out at the election in a few months' time. Galloway, yes, another Pied Piper. You always lose listeners. You don't lose listeners because you're gaining. The Richie Allen Show is gaining listeners all the time, but people often fall away when you say something like that because they can't believe it. Richie, I thought you were all for the people of Palestine. Yes, I am, but George Galloway is not. Galloway uses Palestine and the Palestinians as a prop. Always has done, always will. The Times, now this is very important. This is the front page story on the Times front page. Tories divided over new definition of extremism. Talked about this yesterday. Throughout the day, didn't I? Government plans for a new definition of extremism has sparked concerns in Cabinet that it could inadvertently penalise groups opposed to gay marriage or new transgender rights. Now, this is brilliant misdirection, this. I'll tell you why in a minute. In an effort to tackle growing Islamic and far-right extremism in the UK, ministers are attempting to update the definition to encompass any group or individual that promotes an ideology that undermines the rights or freedoms of others. This has got nothing to do with Islamic extremism or far-right extremism, in the opinion of this broadcaster. This is my opinion. I've read this thing. They don't give a damn about Islamist extremism or so-called far-right extremism. And I'm going to say something that you'll probably disagree with. But there is very, very little Islamic extremism in the UK. Very little. And there is hardly any so-called far-right extremism. These are ideas dreamt up by tyrants. You know, problems, fake problems. Problems that do not exist, but problems that, well, we must have a solution for. And the solutions, of course, are increasingly dystopian. We'll have to watch you more and more and more. And we'll have to correct you when you're online and tell you what's right and what's wrong and what you can and can't say. It's got nothing to do with Islamism or the far right. It's all about, as they say in their own legislation, defining extremism, including broadening the definition to include people who vocally or actively seek to undermine state institutions. It's got fuck all. Sweet fuck all to do, as I said, with the so-called far right or the radical jihadis. It's all to do with their plans for humanity and how they want to, in advance, right, before the shit really hits the fan, to silence any opposition to their plans. That is what it's really all about. So you got some Tories now saying, well, we're worried now that people who are Christians and they oppose gay marriage and they oppose abortion. Yes, yeah, okay, I understand that. But that's not what they really want to shut down. They really want to shut down people who talk about depopulation agendas, people who talk about geoengineering, people who tell you that climate change is the greatest load of bollocks of all time and is a tool for complete repression, oppression, complete oppression of populations. That is what's really going on here. People who might say that you shouldn't have vaccines. People who might say, you know, we don't really need any vaccines, really. Doctors, not morons like me, but doctors. People who vocally or actively seek to undermine state institutions. That could not be more broad. But then that's the whole fucking point of it, isn't it? Make it as broad and general as you like, and then you can point your finger at anybody and accuse them of extremism. And then deny them access. Because one of the things they want to do is to deny those people the rights to work in local authorities or receive funding from national institutions or local institutions. Ostracise people, basically, if they are extremists. And you will be an extremist if you stand up to, vocally or otherwise, to any of these plans they have for humanity. This made me laugh this morning when I read it. Remember what I used to be, a dyed-in-the-wool socialist and trade unionist. I suppose I'll always be a dyed-in-the-wool socialist and trade unionist. I don't have a racist or prejudicial bone in my body. I laugh at what they're doing, though, because you have to laugh at it. BBC must appeal to viewers of all class and thought, says new chairman. Samir Shah. Oh, it just made me laugh, you know. As I was reading it, I fucking knew the new chairman would be from a minority ethnic background. And sure enough, Samir Shah had to be, didn't it? Wrote to staff on Monday, he's 72, right? He succeeded a Goldman Sachs banker, you might remember. A guy called Richard Sharp, yes. And he resigned Sharp because he was connected to Boris Johnson. And he received an £800,000 loan after Johnson went guarantor for him. Remember? Oh, it's so fucking filthy, isn't it? So Samir Shah, marvellous, good for the minorities. We must be the home for showcasing the full range of British culture and talent. Geographically, of course. But also in terms of class and thought in all of its diversity, he said. Let me read that again. We must be the home for showcasing the full range of British culture and talent, geographically, of course, but also in terms of class and thought in all its diversity. Samir. Just make some good fucking programmes, will you, please? Will you? Will you make some good programmes for a fucking change? And give up worrying about the ethnic backgrounds of the directors and the producers and the actors. Just make some good fucking programmes. And you see the sports that we love to sit down to after a hard week at work, you know, the release that we get from watching our sports. Can you stop putting completely underqualified people at the helm of those programmes? People who can't string two fucking sentences together. Appointed only because they are women or lesbians or some other fucking minority. Just put some good people, the best people, irrespective of what god they pray to, irrespective of what they look like, and irrespective of who they shag. Just put the best fucking people in the important roles and forget about your diversity. And you'll find your programmes will improve, I would say to Samir Shah. Samir Shah. But then I would also say, and this was controversial when I first said it 6 years ago on the Richie Allen Show, the men and women of Great Britain have no greater enemy than the institution that is the BBC. The institution that was originally set up to educate, entertain and inform, and now is simply a message carrier, the message being the message of the agenda, Agenda 2030, the Great Reset. That's all the BBC is. This is The Papers with me, Richie Allen, the BBG. It is Tuesday, the 5th of March, thank God for that. Telegraph, by the way, if you're listening to this in your car on the school run, can I suggest you turn it off now? If you have children in the car, I'm going to give you 4 seconds to turn it off. This is your warning, because I'm going to read a headline and two paragraphs that are not for children's ears, okay? Okay. Telegraph, Hamas attackers raped women's corpses, UN finds. Hamas attackers raped women's corpses, a UN report has found, citing, quote, clear and convincing evidence to support multiple accounts of sexual violence. Pramila Patel, the UN Special Envoy on Sexual Violence and Women, said there were, quote, reasonable grounds to believe Hamas committed sexualized torture when Hamas carried out the attack in Israel on October 7th. Now, I do not believe this for a minute. However, listen carefully. I am not saying Hamas did not commit sexual torture. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I don't believe it. Don't believe in the midst of a daring raid on Israeli territory that you'd have the time or the inclination to be raping people, let alone raping dead bodies. What a load of fucking bollocks, right? Especially when you see that the UN Special Envoy, Pramila, said reasonable grounds to believe it. Fuck off. I want proof of it. And as a completely honest and upfront reporter who believes in ethical journalism, if I am shown proof of it, I will go to air with it and say, yes, those crazy bastards did some terrible things to Israeli women and dead Israeli women. But there is no proof of it. However, the UN report went on to say that allegations of sexual violence against Palestinian women, men and girls implicating Israeli security forces and settlers in the West Bank is a real thing. Amazing, isn't it? Do you think they stuck in that bullshit about Hamas raping Israeli corpses because they want to water down the real proof that the Israelis themselves, the Israeli police and the Israeli military have been beating women, including in the genital areas, unwanted touching of intimate areas, threatening to rape Palestinian women, particularly Palestinian female detainees? Because the report goes on to say widespread proof of the Israelis doing these terrible things to the Palestinians, right? Not just since October 7th, but since forever. Yeah. Other concerns raised include the taking and circulating of pictures of Palestinian women detainees on personal phones of soldiers and investigators, depriving Palestinian women of menstruation products, intimidation, including threats of rape if conditions of detention were reported or publicly disclosed after liberation. They even have Israeli whistleblowers. Yeah. Israel. Jesus. That's in the Telegraph. So they start off with this completely unproven allegation about Hamas committing atrocities against Israeli women on October 7th. They say reasonable grounds to believe it, but no evidence. And then they go on to give a whole raft of evidence, which is backed up by real evidence, of beatings of Palestinian women, sexual torture. Yeah. Fuck Israel, right? I mean, fuck Israel. Absolutely. And I'm going to finish with a bit of a farce for you today. A complete farce. In the Mirror. Do you think the COVID jabs are causing widespread harm? Widespread injuries around the world? Do you think so? I think so. And because the mRNA technology, spike proteins, we know what the jabs, what we know what some real experts on mRNA technology. I've had them on my show, scientists, right? Christy, Grace and others, right? Doctors. They say that the mRNA jabs are likely to cause and lead to all manner of autoimmune issues in the recipients of those jabs, right? So we know the jabs are causing serious harm. Listen to this bullshit in the Mirror today. COVID increases risk of arthritis for up to 1 year after infection, new study warns. I've never done this on the papers, but I've got to do it. Let me read this again. COVID increases risk of arthritis for up to 1 year after infection, new study warns.
What kind of fuckery is this?
It's fuckery. It's bullshit. They're claiming, researchers from Kyung-hee University in Seoul, South Korea, Kyung-hee, their study says that COVID-19 infections are associated with an increased risk for autoimmune inflammatory rheumatic diseases, or AIRDS, A-I-R-D-S, autoimmune inflammatory rheumatic diseases, or AIRDS. COVID-19 infections risk AIRDS that extend up to 12 months. AIRDS are conditions that cause inflammation and damage to various tissues and organs due to a malfunctioning immune system. Those wretched fucking liars. To say that it's COVID, it's the jabs. Now, I have no proof of this, but I would put my last £10 note or my last 10 bob note on it being the jabs, the jabs, the jabs, the jabs, the jabs. Yeah, people are coming down with what are they coming down with? They're coming down with rheumatoid arthritis and all manner of inflammatory rheumatic diseases. What are we going to say? We better say it's COVID-19. We can't say it's the jabs because they'll fucking lynch us. Well, they won't lynch you. Most people are so asleep they won't care, even if you admit it. But it's the jabs, isn't it? I would argue it's most likely the jabs. Those were the best of today's British newspapers. A quick look at the BBC News website. There is a horrible story about a girl, a vulnerable girl, who was detained at Wetherby Young Offenders Institution. And on two occasions, she was stripped nude by male prison staff. What the fuck is going on in this supposed liberal democracy, this first world country, this advanced democracy? How the fuck Can a girl be stripped by male prison staff? What is going on? Madness. There's more Galloway bullshit on the BBC News website. He's pledged to take Angela Rayner's seat. She's the deputy leader of the Labour Party, isn't she? Yeah. Children starving to death in northern Gaza, says the World Health Organization. Of course they are. And that's what Israel is doing. It's starving them to death. After destroying their homes and all the infrastructure in Gaza, it's now killing them and nobody cares. That's it for the papers today. Join me at 4 p.m. UK time, because I will be joined by the brilliant Fred and Richard Fairbrass from Right Said Fred. You do not want to miss that. Thank you for listening to the papers. Do share it with others. Until later, from your BBG, it is bye from me. Have a fantastic Tuesday. Bye now.